for his name's sake, Jesus, for his name's sake. When we first heard the name Jesus, there was something about that name that would just touch us. You know, as I had worked with those hardcore criminals, I did notice something in all of those years as chaplain, that when you used the name Jesus, and I grew up thinking that everybody knew about Jesus. You know, everybody did. Of course, I grew up in an area also where I thought the only people going to heaven were the people in that particular church. And a lot of them acted that way. Then I realized something. Out here in this big world is real life, real living. When we raise our children, let us focus on them coming out in the real world. And in the real world, a lot of hurt happens. But in that hurt, there is one name that stands above all other names. And when you claim the name of Jesus, it is he who gives you the courage and the boldness to go through the hurt. In his name, for his name's sake. God said, I didn't send my son for nothing. I send my son for you, my favorite of all creation, the human race. Therefore, I've sent my son to you. Believe him. And as Jesus then, when we say yes to Jesus, we know that he becomes such a part of directing our life. He is in us. All the problems, all the hurt, and all the pains of life will continue coming your way. And if you call to preach, all hell will break loose against you. Because Satan fears the name of Jesus. And it's in that name that all hope abounds. It's in that name that life truly exists. It's in that name that you will be able to survive any difficulty in your life. It's all in the name, but it's not your name. It's Jesus. His namesake. Here's a point I want to make. Your salvation is secured through believing in Jesus' name, not through your doing in your own name. I'm going to do Christian stuff. I'm going to do good things. Salvation is found in the name of Jesus, and it is secured in you taking that name and pronouncing that name to the world, not in you doing in your own idea. Many people think, well, you know, I got to go out and do good. Well, you should do good. But what is good? You know, when I dealt with all those, the criminal element, the personalities, well, I was hard as a, rough as a cop, I was. But I cared and I loved. You want to accept Jesus, turn your life around, you have hope. You keep going in the way you're going, and you are going to end up in prison the rest of your life or dead without Jesus. And do you know what they respected in their chaplain? I wasn't going to back down off of that. There's one name, And now all of these, you can't imagine the different type of beliefs that we had in the prison. In my time, I had 2,300 inmates at Kentucky State Reformatory at LaGrange. And about every one of them had their own belief system. And all of those belief systems were wrong except for Jesus. But you see, there must be a difference in the Christian. Well, a lot of folks think, well, I'll do good and that'll prove that I'm a Christian. The devil does good. You're not going to see him in heaven. I know a lot of bad people that do good things for their particular group, but they do it for the wrong reason. And God says, for his name's sake, I'm going to have mercy on you. Now, God wants us to do those things that are good, but to do them for the right reason. Jesus is his name. Listen to Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone, this is Jesus speaking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Really? That's what Jesus said. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Depart from me, I never knew you. But we did all this good stuff. You did it in your name. You did it for the wrong reason. You did it for show, not for love. Folks, the key to your life and the key in your salvation experience is the love of Christ in your heart, is the love that you can express to those who are unlovable, to those who just don't quite do it the way that you think that they ought to do it. They don't quite dress the way you think that they ought to dress, and they don't quite act the way. Well, maybe God don't want them acting like you. Just maybe that God has created each one of us individually for an individual purpose to glorify his individual Son, and it is in his name that somebody's life will change. It is in his name that hope will come to those who see no hope. It's in his name. Victory in Jesus is the way that it is. In the name of Jesus, the dead rise, the lame walk, the blind see. Oh, the blindness of our generation, like many other generations, goes deeper to the blindness of the heart of the human race. They can't see Jesus. If you're blind to the name of Jesus, you can't see Jesus, and your life will not act like Jesus wants your life to act. But God says, in his name, you pray. In Jesus' name, I pray. You hear me saying it all the time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Not in any others. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's Jesus. I'm a Christian. Naturally, I'm going to preach Christ. But Christ is not a religion. He is a person, and you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's called being saved. Lord, here am I. Save me. Lord, I don't know the words, Lord, but I know I'm a mess. And when you said, Lord, save me, He'll take care of all the rest of it.
Amen.
Folks, my salvation is in Jesus. Now, each step that I take, I guarantee you, is a gift from Jesus. Satan wants Christians dead. Dead Christians don't proclaim on earth Jesus' name. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I ain't gonna die yet. You and I have a job to do. I tell you that about every service. Well, that job is a ministry. And that ministry is in the name of Jesus. You want power? Use His name. You want to make a whole bunch of people mad? Use His name. You want to aggravate Satan? Use the name of Jesus. For it is in that precious name, for His name's sake, that all of life, all of history, all of existence will bow in the presence of Jesus. He's the one. There's no other. He's the one. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything formed was formed by Jesus. In His presence, everything exists through grace. And God says, pay attention to your individual life. You dedicate you in service to Jesus, just do the serving He's called you to do. He'll take care of all the light work for you. Death, the grave. Well, He died so we could live. He conquered death, as Randy was talking about earlier. I mean, death died when Jesus came on the scene. You got me? Death died. Has no authority over you. No. I get to be with you and Jesus and all the other believers together for eternity. And I love that. What a celebration. In Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. Listen to 1 John 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Not because you were good, but because you ask believing, Lord, save me. I believe that You are the Son of the living God. You are God incarnate. You came, God, to earth in human form to feel our human existence, to feel our human pain. Nobody suffered like Jesus has suffered. No human being. All the billions to ever were born or to be born, Jesus took everyone's suffering on that cross for us. And listen, everybody get over the election and enjoy God's grace within it. I'm going to heaven one day, and I won't say I'm Democrat, Republican, Independent, or anything else. I'll say Jesus. I know Jesus. He got my name down there, so you all check it if you need to check it, but I know Jesus. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. That's why. Not for your sake, not for your name, for his name's sake, you're forgiven. And never to be brought up again. I love that. Do you know that your sins, when you give them to Jesus, will never ever be brought up again in heaven or eternity? Now, your family and friends down here keep reminding you of them. So you don't even have to remember them yourself. They'll remind you of it. You get that, family table? I remember you when you were 16. I don't even remember being 16. I'm sure at some point in my life I went through that age. But somebody will always remember something. And have you noticed, those of you who have the big family gatherings, they remember something about you that you have no concept, not even a bit of memory of even being there, much less doing it. Oh, that's just the way life is, folks, but not in Jesus' name. I'll put them as far as there are from the east, from the west, all your sins, never to be brought up again. No, you're not going to stumble over them walking through the gate, because they've been paid for by a Savior who loves you just like you are, and not one drop of the blood of Christ will go to waste. And he shed it for you. You will be betrayed and hated, though, because of his name. Luke 21, 16 and 17. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? If you've lived long enough, you've already experienced it. And they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all. Why? For my name's sake. Because you want to do it God's way. Because you mentioned the name Jesus. Don't you be talking about him in front of us. You don't have to worry. I won't be in front of you. You see, if Jesus' name ain't accepted, neither am I. It is that name that makes us who we are in eternity and gives us that hope. Don't you ever shun the name of Jesus. Don't you ever back off. Well, you know, I'm a Christian sometimes, but not right now because I know you all are going to whip me. No, trust me. Not a hand can be laid on you unless Jesus allows it. And if he allows it, who am I to stop it? Something good's going to come from it. But it's Jesus' name, the most precious name you'll have in combat. We heard Jesus quite often right after and in the middle of a firefight. You'd hear Jesus a lot. And if you didn't hear it, guarantee you, a lot going through that mind. I talked to Jesus more in Dominican Republic and Vietnam than I ever did as a child. But there was something set inside of me. That something was a name. And where the name is, the person is. Where Jesus' name is, Jesus is. And Jesus makes the decisions. So if I gotta go, I'm going in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I'm zipping right on. Oh, please understand that forgiveness. What Jesus paid for your salvation. God, folks, you can't imagine that cost. It had nothing to do with wealth. Had to do with love. And in your mind, I want you to set this. The wealthiest thing and amount that I have in my life is the love that's been given to me in the name of Jesus, in His name and through His name. That's where my wealth is. It's in Jesus' name. It's in hope. It's in loving people that are unlovable. I've told you many times, and most of you who've known me for many years, you know, sometimes I'm not lovable. Just ask my wife. Sometimes our human personality overshadows a love story that is in your life. I'm here to tell you something. Those worldviews, that world hurt, will never overshadow the Christ who is in your life. You're okay when you say yes to Jesus. You'll do just fine. And please, your pastor loves you, but try to do this. Keep your nose out of everybody else's business and pay attention to your own. And put Jesus right there. And you won't be condemning everybody else. Because Jesus is love. He loved me despite me. He knew me before I knew Him. He placed love in my heart. And I must say, not every congregation over the years have I always said at the end of a service, your pastor loves you, because it was difficult through the battles of ministry. But from the year 2000, God sent a congregation and multiple different personalities. I've never hesitated to say, your pastor loves you. It's easier to love lovable people. But it's a lot easier when you're lovable yourself. You got it? Let us love one another. You'll be betrayed and hated. Here's my favorite part. Now, you all know it. You hear me saying it all the time. Woo! And I get excited over it. That's why revival's coming. Jesus, that name, Jesus confessed your name to His Father. Jesus knows my name. Jesus knows your name. Matthew 10, 32, 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus, let my Father know, your Father know. He's mine, Lord. You know why that salvation, what the blessing is on that for Jesus? Now, you picture this, how important you are, Christian. When you say yes to Jesus, the Scripture tells us that the great gift that Jesus is going to give His Father is us. We are the gift that Jesus gives to God the Father. Born again, born from above, born anew. Folks, you get excited over it. And if you haven't surrendered your heart yet, pull out that old white flag of surrender, yeah. And you give that heart to Jesus. For it's the only name you'll ever need. Amen. And it's the only name that was powerful enough to introduce you to the Creator of all that exists. So when we're carried by the angels into His presence, yeah, only one name. Not, oh, Jesus. No, that's a proud name. And I'm Jesus, you know, I'll be saying it all the way up there. It's Jesus. That's God's Word. And it doesn't get any better than God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for life, for love. We thank You, Father, for the peace that only You can give us. Lord, there is a world hurting out here, as You well know. Father, we don't know what to do in so many cases. But one thing we are looking at, Father, and that's the brokenness of those around us. Help us as Your children. Feed Your children Your truth. Touch the lives, Father. Be with the leaders of the nation, Father. Strengthen them, encourage them, and give them the boldness. For we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.